This tape is copyrighted by Westminster Media, the media ministry of Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. For a complete brochure of Westminster Media products and services, write to the address on the label. This tape may not be reproduced, electronically stored, or duplicated in any form without the written permission of Westminster Media. All rights reserved.
Think about, what did being broken do to their lives? How did it affect their lives and relationships? Being broken probably changed their perspective on things, didn't it? Especially if their lives were relatively all right before, and something happened and they began to experience a particular kind of brokenness. Brokenness makes us think differently. It also probably altered them emotionally, too. Maybe they got depressed or afraid or maybe even full of despair as a result of that brokenness. Certainly they grieved whatever they had lost. So brokenness not only makes us think differently, it makes us feel differently. It altered their relationships too, I suspect. Brokenness tends to affect our capacity for intimacy. It affects also how others relate or respond to us. So brokenness makes us act differently. It might have shattered their dreams for the future. If they experienced physical brokenness out of an illness, perhaps a chronic illness, or something like an automobile accident, the way that they thought about the future, their vision for their lives, was gravely impacted by that brokenness. Brokenness makes us plan differently. So brokenness affects just about everything that we do and who we are. Now, given the number of people here, I think it is probably safe for me to assume that we have some broken people among us. Now, your brokenness may not show. The person sitting next to you may think you've got it all together. You may look great, which you do. Very together externally, which in fact you do. But you are broken nonetheless. Some of you perhaps struggle with chronic pain. Some of you are depressed. Perhaps there are some here who are addicted to things like pornography. The statistics tell us that in this country, 1 in 4 women have been sexually abused by the age of 18. There's a lot of women here. The statistics also tell us 1 in 6 men have been sexually abused by the age of 18. There's a lot of men here too. Statistics tell us that 1 in 4 marriages experience at least one episode of violence during the course of that marriage. I expect there are a lot of marriages represented here. Some of you might feel broken way down deep. Maybe you grew up with parents who hated you and or each other. Parents who violated you, battered you, trashed you in some way. Oh, you've tried to live around it. You've tried to hide it from everybody. It feels like a shameful thing, but it's made things like trust and love and intimacy very difficult for you. Now go back to what we said brokenness does to people. It changes our thinking, it changes our feeling, our acting, and our planning. It's hard to think you're a person of value if you grew up trashed, isn't it? It's hard to feel loved if you decided long, long ago not to let anybody close because people only hurt when they get in close. It's hard to act free and natural if you're using a tremendous amount of emotional energy trying to hide the fact that the spouse that you live with hits you or humiliates you or degrades you in some fashion. It's almost impossible to plan and envision a future if you are burdened or depressed or grieving. Brokenness is not a good thing. Brokenness is a life-altering thing. You know what the word broken means? It literally means to be split by violence into two or more fragments. It means things like splintered, fractured, bankrupt. It also means things like incomplete, weakened, or crushed. It's a pretty heavy word, isn't it? Have you ever felt any of those things? I certainly have. And I dare say every one of us has felt some of those things. And you know why that is? It's because you and I are all broken people who live in a very broken world. Now, you and I were created by God to live without brokenness. We were not meant to be fractured into pieces. We were to be whole people living in unbroken relationship with God the Father and with each other. And sin came and smashed us apart. It made us bankrupt, faltering, weakened, broken people, all of us, no exceptions. Now, if these two things are true, one, that we are all broken people, and two, that brokenness affects us profoundly, what are we going to do? It seems important to consider that. We are all born broken, and then some of us carry brokenness from childhood that we've lugged around for decades. Others of us are living with it today. What are we to do? And I want to answer that for you by considering three other questions, which is proof that I'm a psychologist. Only psychologists answer questions by asking more. The first is, what are our typical responses to brokenness? The second is, what is God's response to our brokenness? And the third is, how will that lead us, if we understand those two things, how will that lead us to respond to the brokenness around us? Because if you're going to live in this world, you not only have to deal with your own brokenness, you got to deal with everybody else's too, don't you? Now, I think, after watching people all these years, that human beings have a great propensity for responding to things to one extreme or the other. We're not very good at finding the middle. And this area is no exception. I think with brokenness, we either tend to hide it, or try to, or we get swallowed up by it. Now, when something is broken, it doesn't work right. What is one of our typical responses to things that don't work? Well, if something doesn't work, we want it to go away. We want a new one. We want it fixed. We think broken things are useless. Our thinking does not change when it comes to people. When you were a kid and out on the playground during recess, and suppose you were the team person and you got to pick who was going to be on your kickball team, whom did you start with? The kids who couldn't run? No. You wanted the whole healthy runners on your kickball team. You didn't want the broken kids. Did you ever break something when you were a kid? And what happened when your mom or dad came home? Did you run right to the door with a broken item and say, "Here, Mom, look what I did"? I don't think so. You probably hid it. Or maybe you tried to put it back together so nobody would notice the fractures. We not only think broken things are useless, we think broken things are unpresentable. Let me give you a personal example, and it's one that taught me a great deal about how people view brokenness. My father suffered from a disabling illness for about 33 years of his life. And that illness was progressive, and so he got more and more disabled as the years went by. And one of the results of that illness was the way that he looked physically and the way that he was able to handle his body were gravely affected. You know what happened? Inevitably, when my parents would go out to eat, when my father was still able to do that, the maitre d' always put them in the most far away corner of the restaurant where they were hidden from view. You know why that was? Because my father looked broken. And brokenness isn't good for business. Do you ever hide your brokenness from others? Try to put it in the most faraway corner so nobody could see it? Pretend it wasn't there? Pretend you were fine even when you were dying inside? I know people who are afraid to go home at night because they have terrifying nightmares, or because they're facing an abusive relationship, and they leave a gathering at church and they say, "Good night, all," and smile. Nobody knows they're broken. I know adolescent girls who, when they were little, were getting sexually abused and just went around pretending everything was okay, and nobody knew they were broken. I know men who hide the brokenness of a pornography addiction from friends, from wives, from church community, thinking somehow they'll pull it together and be able to manage it. I know Christians in leadership who hide things like depression and struggles. Lots of us hide terrible fears, doubts, insecurities, guilt, sinful patterns, busted up marriages, and we go through life as if everything were fine. Some of us even try to hide our brokenness from ourselves. Now that takes a little bit more work. But we think things about our brokenness like, it's no big deal. It doesn't really matter anyway. It doesn't really hurt. Maybe if I don't think about it, it'll go away. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Some of us hide our brokenness from ourselves with hard work or busyness. We stay so active, we never have long enough time to sit down and realize how broken we are. If we did that with a pain in our stomach that turned out to be appendicitis, we could end up with a ruptured appendix and poison all through our system. Hidden brokenness gets no help. There's no healing for a disease that goes unrecognized. Salve is never applied to an unknown wound. Some of us even try to hide our brokenness from God. Now that one's not only difficult, it's a little bit silly. But we try anyway, don't we? We do not relate to him in truth. We do not speak honestly to him about who we are, even though he sees and knows. And it's because we don't want to face our own brokenness. We don't want to deal with our sin, and we live in a culture that encourages us to do whatever it takes to feel better, to get the quick fix, to look good, and to excuse or minimize our behaviors and choices. Now, on the other hand, there are those of us who do not hide our brokenness. And I'm sure you all know people like this. We parade it. We will show it to anybody who will stop and look. We milk it. It runs our lives and everyone else's. It's what we think about. It's the basis for our decisions. Did you ever have something happen to you as a kid? Maybe you fell down and skinned your knee on the sidewalk, and all of a sudden, somewhere down the road, it dawned on you that if you played it just right, maybe you could get out of school the next day. I spent a lot of years visiting nursing homes. I had a grandmother who lived until she was 93. But my father spent about 7 years in one as well. Now, people are generally not in nursing homes because everything is working right. They're there because something is broken, or at least just worn out. And I always found it so striking when we would go to the nursing homes that there were people there, there were two kinds of people, it seemed, people there who only knew or talked about what was wrong with them. There were other people there who had plenty of things wrong, and they would speak the truth about what was broken, but they also always wanted to know about me. Now, they didn't hide their brokenness, but they were not governed by it. It did not rule them. Have any of you ever been broken by other people? And does that brokenness keep you imprisoned even today? Are you constantly on guard, always measuring, protecting yourself, trying to make sure you don't get rejected, or trying to make sure you get love or respect? Is anybody here angry with God about the broken parts of you? And around you go, revolving around your own brokenness, ruled by the most broken part of you. Where are you broken? Now, we're all broken because we're all sinners. But I would like you to stop and just think specifically, where are you broken? There's no reason to pretend you are not, because we all are. Me too. It's not as though you're sitting next to somebody who isn't broken. Everybody you're sitting next to is broken too. We long for wholeness, but we're broken. We long for intimacy, but relationships get broken. Sin has broken our intimacy with the Father, so it's really no use pretending, is it? We are a room full of broken people. Now, I have a gift for you today, but it is a gift that is only for broken people. And so if you're going to work hard and pretend you're an exception to the rest of us, then my gift is not for you. But if you want this gift, and it is a wonderful gift, then I would ask you to be willing today to let the Spirit of God show you where you are broken. Again, healing cannot touch wounds that are denied. The grace of God cannot wash over that which is buried. Forgiveness is not given for what remains unconfessed. So ask God with me to show us the truth today about our own brokenness. And as we do, I will tell you about my gift. Now, I have seen a lot of brokenness over the years. It is strewn through my own life, both in me and in those I have loved. I've been a practicing psychologist for 25 years, and doing that essentially means sitting down in a chair and hanging up a sign that asks people to bring you their brokenness. And they have done so. I have seen batterers and battered, abusers and abused, addicted and out of control. I have seen anger and violence and grief and depression and fear and pain and self-condemnation. It's been a parade of human brokenness for 25 years. Now, I began young once and very idealistic. I was educated, I was trained, I was ready to go. I wanted to help, and I did help. People brought me problems that needed solution, they brought me ignorance that needed education, and the unskilled needed skills, and I did and still do give many of those things. They are good things. But I remember two particular points that occurred while I was still in my 20s that taught me two very significant lessons about brokenness. The first occasion was when I found myself sitting across from someone whose life was so shattered by violence and abuse that was beyond my imagination, that I knew that no amount of education, solutions, or skills would ever put that life back together again. It was, by human standards, a ruined life. It was a life that was full of despair. It was piles of ashes. It was devastated. And nothing in my training or my experience had prepared me for what I found in this woman. I was at a loss, and I was faced with a broken human being I could not begin to fix. The second occasion was when I found myself sitting across from somebody I did not like. Now, understand that for whatever reason, in terms of the way I'm put together, I typically like people. I like all kinds of people. I find people quite interesting. I like knowing what they think, and I care about how they feel. And I have liked others that some of you might call obnoxious people, slow people, arrogant people. I've even liked a few mean people. So I like people. So for me to sit across from somebody I didn't like was unusual. But you see, not only did I not like this woman, I didn't want to help her. I had things I could give to her, and I didn't want to give them. I wanted her to go away. Obviously, none of you have ever known anybody like that. And I was, if I'm truthful with you, quite willing to act in such a way that helped her go away. And nothing, you see, in my training or my experience prepared me at that moment for what I had found in myself. I was at a loss again. I was faced with a broken person, and this time, it was me. Now go back to our typical responses to brokenness. In the first situation, I wanted to pretend I could help. I didn't want to face my own inadequacy. In the second situation, I wanted to pretend I could help because I didn't want to face my own sin. Had I stayed in that place of pretense, I would never have the great privilege today of telling you that my brokenness in those two situations turned out to be an awesome blessing, because it is by way of that brokenness that I learned more about Jesus. You see, people who are broken need a redeemer. The broken woman across from me needed a redeemer. I needed a redeemer. You need a redeemer. Only a redeemer can bring beauty out of brokenness. Only a redeemer can heal what is smashed. Only a redeemer can restore intimacy with the Father. And the redeemer, of course, is my gift today. I long to bring you, in whatever places you have that are broken, to this Redeemer. Perhaps many of you already know him, but even when we've known him for a long time, we often have locked away inside hidden places of unbrokenness that we've never let him touch, and so they remain unhealed and unredeemed. Think about your places of brokenness. Are you broken because you grew up poverty-stricken relationally? Nobody loved you, esteemed you, and in terms of things like love, you are so poor you feel like you're starving. Or maybe you're broken because your heart's been crushed by things that have happened in your life. Grief is drowning you, loss overwhelming you. Or perhaps you're broken because you're enslaved to something, food, sex, some substance, pornography. Or maybe you're imprisoned by something like fear, or guilt, or anger, or bitterness. You hate them, but they run your life. The broken places are pushed aside and isolated. You are afraid to face them, afraid to expose them, and you have long ago despaired of them ever being healed. Listen to the voice of the Redeemer. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. This is the Redeemer who says to you and to me, come, you who are thirsty. Come, you who are weary. Come, you who are bowed down. Bring me what is broken. Bring me what you cannot fix. Bring me what weighs you down, and I am the Redeemer who brings beauty out of ashes, light out of darkness, and life out of death. Now, this is an unusual Redeemer. One would think that a Redeemer who can mend broken people would be unbroken himself altogether. But this Redeemer is a broken Redeemer. You see, his response to my brokenness and to yours was not to run away from it, not to condemn it, but to put it on himself until it broke him. His response was not to be ruled by it, not to get lost in it, but in the midst of the greatest brokenness ever experienced by any of us, he was ruled by love of God and love for us. Do you see that you are broken? Do you know where you are broken? Do you know that there's a Redeemer who has experienced your particular brokenness? And he asks you to let that brokenness drive you to himself. What do I mean when I say this Redeemer has experienced your particular brokenness? Well, think through some things with me. Are you broken because you have not been loved? He was despised and rejected. Are you broken because you are not desirable to others? He was undesirable to the point that men hid their faces from him. Can you imagine what it would be like to walk in here some Sunday morning and have everybody go like that when you walked by? Are you broken down by the weight of your griefs and sorrows? He carried them in himself. He bore your griefs. Are you broken physically? He was wounded, pierced, and could not find relief from pain. Are you broken spiritually? Does God seem far away? He was utterly forsaken and abandoned by God. Are you broken because of abuse or rape? Scripture tells us they took his clothes, exposed him, and humiliated him. Are you broken by your bondage to sin? He was crushed for your iniquities. This Redeemer, who was without fracture or weakness, responded to our brokenness by letting it break him. What does that mean? First of all, it means that there is one who knows. Even if you're sitting here today with your brokenness and you've never told another soul about it, your Redeemer is one who knows. One of the things we often feel when we're broken is isolated. Isn't that right? We feel different from other people. We feel like they wouldn't want us around if they knew the truth. Now, we're not alone because we're all broken. But we all pretend we're not, so we feel alone. You think about your darkest hours in life, and part of what makes them so dark is the feeling of being isolated and alone, isn't it? You and I have a Redeemer who knows, who understands our brokenness because he too was broken. Second, he says to us, he has come with healing in his wings. Now, does that mean if you have chronic fatigue syndrome, it'll suddenly disappear? Or if you're an alcoholic, you'll never want another drink? That if you were sexually abused, it'll all of a sudden be as if you weren't? Or that if your life has been somehow blown up by your own sin, it will just neatly go back together and there'll be no consequences? Probably not. He tells us that his kingdom is not of this world. And so that means, for the most part, that the healing of which he speaks is of a far different order, and in fact, it runs much deeper in us than fixing physical things or histories. It's a far deeper healing than whether or not my body works right, or whether or not I can go through life with nothing wrong with me. It means this, that though I am a shattered, broken sinner, I can, through my broken Savior, be transformed, even in my brokenness, to look like him. He, through his own brokenness, brought us life where there was death. And what has been done to him can now be done in us. Healing, or transformation, comes through the broken body of our Redeemer. And that occurs in two ways. First, it comes as we, aware of our brokenness, will be willing to kneel before him in our frailty with all our fragments, just the pieces, and present them to him. Listen to what he says. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with whom? The one with a humble and contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. He is saying that I, who am highest above all, give life to the crushed and broken. So as you think about the various fragments of your life today, I would urge you to bring them today to your Redeemer, in however many pieces they are, knowing that your greatest brokenness is safe with him. It does not need to be hidden. You do not need to protect it or make it pretty. Whatever it is, at its very worst, it is safe with him. The brokenness you carry in your life due to the sins of others against you can be brought before him, who understands how destructive another sin can be to human life. It cost him his.
This is the end of side one. Please turn the tape over at this point.